This is The State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Poet, author, and civil rights activist Maya Angelou died this morning. Perhaps her best-known work was her autobiography, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings.
The sounds of the new morning had been replaced with grumbles about cheating houses, weighted scales, snakes, skimpy cotton, and dusty rows. In later years, I was to confront the stereotype picture of gay song-singing cotton pickers with such inordinate rage that I was told even by fellow blacks that my paranoia was embarrassing. But I had seen the fingers cut by the mean little cotton bowls, and I had witnessed the backs and shoulders and arms and legs resisting any further demand.
In fact, Maya Angelou wrote 7 autobiographies, 3 books of essays, and several books of poetry, as well as plays, movies, and television shows over the course of 5 decades. Maya Angelou was also at the center of the civil rights and women's rights movements. Most recently, she was Reynolds Professor of American Studies at Wake Forest University. Maya Angelou was 86 when she passed away this morning in Winston-Salem. Marcia Ann Gillespie was her friend and the author of a biography about her in 2008 called Maya Angelou, A Glorious Celebration. Marcia Ann Gillespie, first, my condolences. All of us suffered a loss today, but I know that Maya Angelou was a close friend of yours, so please accept my deepest sympathy.
Thank you so much.
Your book is full of portraits and family photos and a quote from Oprah Winfrey, who says in your book that she never met a woman who was more completely herself than Maya Angelou. This about a woman who may be more accomplished than any American we've ever known. Was that true? What does she mean by that, a woman who is more herself than anyone she knew?
I think the bottom line is, you know, Maya had one face, as in she was so comfortable with herself at all times, comfortable to be raucous and funny and, you know, comfortable with this extraordinary talent that she had, never in a way that took it for granted, understand. You know, she was always grateful for her life and grateful for her art and constantly learning. She was just one of a kind.
One of the things that critics noticed about her autobiography, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, or one of the things that that critics said that it did was to allow black women to offer a full-throated, complete view of what it meant. Black women could speak out loud about their full experience. Would you say that that was true of Maya Angelou and maybe one of her contributions?
Absolutely. But I think it was, you know, it was about letting, you know, saying to black women, you know, we have a right to our voices and to our stories. And they do not have to be censored by others. But it was also something that, you know, spoke to all women who have, you know, because all women, in fact, know what it's like to have your story, your life, you know, taken from you and then told by others. She gave, you know, she opened a floodgate for women. She helped open a floodgate for women who have been abused. She opened that by telling her story. Mm-hmm. She also told us that you can rise above it. You do not have to be defined by the low deeds of others. You can define yourself.
She was abused as a young woman, and there is...
As a child.
Tell us that story, because she literally lost her voice in that story and in its aftermath.
What she, you know, essentially wrote about and has spoken about is that, you know, a boyfriend of her mother's raped her when she was a child. And when she spoke about it, you know, it so enraged, you know, the people in the neighborhood that a group of men found him and beat him to death. And she thought that because she'd spoken, she had, in fact, been responsible for this man's death. And she stopped speaking. stop speaking for several years because she did not trust her voice. And, you know, it was her understanding, though, of the power of the voice. But thank God she found her voice again.
She did, and of course she wrote a poem for Bill Clinton's inauguration in 1993, On the Pulse of the Morning, and I'd like to hear a section of that right now. Let's play it.
The rock cries out to us, clearly, forcefully, come, you may stand upon my back and face your distant destiny, but seek no haven in my shadow. I will give you no hiding place down here. You, created only a little lower than the angels, have crouched too long in the bruising darkness, have lain too long face down in ignorance, your mouths spilling words armed for slaughter. The rock cries out to us today, you may stand upon me, but do not hide your face.
Maya Angelou reading from On the Pulse of the Morning from Bill Clinton's inauguration in 1993. And Marcia, I understand that she called you about that poem before she actually delivered it. Is that right?
Yes, she did. I was the editor of Ms. Magazine at the time. And I got a phone call from Maya. And she said to me, you know, darling, do you have a time? I've just been working on this poem and I'd like to read it to you, and I'd like to see what, you know, I want to know what you think. And so she started reading this poem to me. By the time she finished, I was in tears and really silence. I really almost didn't know what to say. I was so stunned and in awe of her. And finally she said, so did you like it? And I said to her, you know, there are no words. This is, you know, extraordinary. You're extraordinary.
What was it that you think allowed her, I mean, the story of losing her voice, because she knew it was so powerful, that has to be the story of many, many women and many, many people in this order of ours that find themselves disenfranchised. The power of their voice alone is the thing that scares them. How do you think she recovered from that? What was it that allowed her to move forward and become the force that she did?
Several things, not the least of which was, you know, she often talked about her grandmother, her grandmother's incredible faith, her grandmother's extraordinary strength, and her grandmother's unswerving belief in her. And on so many levels, I've always felt that key to her regaining her voice was, in fact, her grandmother, in that affirming who she was and saying that, you know, you have a right to speak. Not that, you know, it wasn't that there was a conversation so much as it is what she had been taught as a child during those years when she lived with her grandmother.
Of course, most recently, she was teaching at Wake Forest University, living near Winston-Salem, and I understand that she loved to entertain and have people over, and you were there on at least one occasion.
Yeah, I had the great pleasure of being, you know, at Maya's table on a number of occasions, but, you know, one in particular always stands out because to me it was so Maya. She cooked an amazing meal, and she invited lots of people because she loved having people around, people enjoying themselves, people sitting at table telling stories. And she, out of the blue, started to recite Robert Burns. She was talking about something about poetry and favorite poems, and he was, you know, one of her favorite poets. And what I remember so clearly is, you know, there we were at table, and she's reciting Burns, full Scottish brogue. You know, you could see her delight in his words. It was so, you know, it was in her face, it was in her eyes, it was in her voice itself. You know, and what knocked me out about Maya was that, you know, she had this amazing ability. I mean, she remembered word for word those words that mattered to her. Not just her words, but the words of others. And, you know, loved sharing the word with others. So, you know, I always think about, you know, the students in her class and how lucky they were. Because they had a chance to have not just one of the world's great wordsmiths, but a truly great spirit teaching them. That's amazing.
Marcia Ann Gillespie, once again, I'm very sorry for your loss.
No, I'm sorry for the world's loss.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Marcia Ann Gillespie wrote a biography about her friend Maya Angelou in 2008. Maya Angelou died this morning near Winston-Salem at the age of 86. The story to State of Things continues in just a moment. We're going to talk about the fight for clean water at Camp Lejeune, and you're going to hear about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.